The verse that came to me was Colossians 3:23, and I love the image that Darcy put behind there. That's a great image. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man. That's Colossians 3:23. The NIV, the one that I grew up with, because I grew up with an NIV study Bible that I got at a pretty young age, it says, in everything you do, work at it with all your heart, as for the Lord and not for man. Lord, your word is good, your word is pure, your word is perfect. Seth is not pure, perfect, or even good. But we thank you that you use us. I pray that you would bring this sermon to everyone here. Thank you for bringing it to me, and help your spirit to be lent to us so we hear what we need to hear in our current circumstances, each one of us individually. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, perfect. Let's see if I did this right. Yes. Okay. I'm new to this whole putting things on like Kent does, so I'm trying to be better like him. So, first thing I want to talk about, there's three different points I want to talk about this, really the chapter of Colossians 3. The title of Colossians 3 is Put on the New Self. How it works is, first little paragraph, couple sentences, here's how awesome Christ is. You have been raised in Christ. Remember that for this next part. Next paragraph, much bigger, don't do these things. These are the things that makes God unhappy. These are the things that pull you away from God. Next paragraph, because he can't just leave us there, here's how you don't do those things. And then the next paragraph, and I think it's appropriate for Mother's Day, is rules for Christian households. And that seems like kind of an odd addition to this chapter about put on the new self, but it fits pretty nicely. And Colossians 3:23 fits perfectly after all of that, right after the rules of Christian households, talking about how we need to work and what we need to do. So, first thing we do to learn what this verse means is we have to know who are we talking to here? Who is the audience of this verse? Because that's what it's all about. If this doesn't get to the audience, then there's no one to hear, and if no one can hear, how can anyone believe? So we need to know who is being talked to. And what is awesome, and it's not in a lot of scripture, but it is here, right there, right there, right there, right there, right there, and right there. All those commas, I've underlined them if you can see that, if you don't know what that is. It's a comma with an underline on it. That comma might as well be the introduction to a nicely written letter. Written? Writ? Has written? Is writing? I don't know. A written letter, and that is the person it is to. And that's really important because this verse, this is two wives. This verse, this is four husbands. This verse, this is two children. This verse, fathers and parents. Bondservants, masters. Two, 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 two. That is the address on this envelope to certain people. This isn't a paragraph written for a pastor or someone up here to preach to a congregation. That's not what this is for. And that's not what I'm doing today even. All I'm doing is pointing out the commas. Wives, not husbands. Not husbands, tell your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting for the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Bondservants, obey in everything to your earthly masters. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly. Those are addressed to those people. And the point of that is, and the importance of that is, it's not for anyone else to tell other people. It's for us to remind. Reminding is good. But how many of you, through all of the effort you may have tried, let's say, can make your children obey you as the parent in everything? How many parents have successfully achieved that goal of making your child obey you in everything? No, none of us, right? Would have been amazing if somebody put their hand up. None of us. How many spouses have successfully made your spouse love or submit to you? I haven't, though I've tried. I haven't. How many of you people that work jobs, you bond servants, have, or how many of you bosses, rather, have made the people that work for you perfectly follow everything you want them to do and listen to you? I know I haven't. Not that I've ever been a boss, but as an employee, I certainly haven't. How many of you employees have ever through will or yelling or anger or anything, gotten your boss to be more reasonable? How many of you have made them more reasonable? No. You can talk to people. You can address them. You can point out things lovingly, but I can't make anyone do anything. Just like you can't make me do anything. I can't make you do anything. None of us can make anyone do anything. For those of you in youth group, you know this. What are the things on earth that we are in control of? Better believe it. All you are in control of, thank you, all you are in control of, you, any of you, all that you are in control of is your actions and your reactions. I hammer that pretty hard in youth group because we spend most of our lives being pretty angry about other people and wanting them to change how they act. And we can't do it. It is a futile effort that we waste our time in. And the only reason I know that is because I am a young person and I've spent most of my life doing that and I've wasted my time in those efforts. I have never been able to make anyone trust me more, love me more, be there for me more. That always comes down to their decision. Because you are in control of what you do, not what other people do. Whether it is your spouse, your children, the people that work for you, your friends, your family, it doesn't matter. You are in control of what you do, and they're in control of what they do, and you can only do what you can do. That's why this is addressed to people. It's not, husbands, remind your wives to submit to you. Husbands, or wives, remind your husbands to love you as Christ loved the church. Parents, make your children obey you. That's why it's not worded that way, because that doesn't work. You can remind them. You can remind your parents, hey, you need to obey me. Or you can remind your children, hey, you need to obey me. You can remind your parents, hey, you need to be fair with me. You need to love me, and you need to not act harshly with me. But you can't make them do anything. If people are going to do something, they're going to do it. You can't be in control of that. And you can't, we shouldn't, rather, waste any time trying to make people do things that we can't control. Because that's what the commas are for. That's why God talks to people individually. And that's why I underline those commas, because I'm not telling you, God's telling you. Because if I tell you, it doesn't matter. Because as we prayed a little bit ago, my words don't mean anything. God's words have all the power. God's words are the ones that change people, not my words. So if we want to work with all our heart at things, let's not work futilely. Let's not work against the current. Let's let God do the work that we can't do, and let's focus on the stuff that we can focus on and fix, like ourselves, our actions and our reactions. Because those are the things that we can change. Only we are in control of us. Second thing I want us to take away to get to the heart of this verse, let's back it up a little bit, back to the earlier part of Colossians 3. Back before we're talking about Christian households even. Oh, I forgot it. Well, that bums me out. I had a prize for somebody, but I don't have the prize anymore. I'll owe you an IOU. Okay, this verse right here. If you can read it, if not, open your Bibles. If you can't read it from the back, I want you to take, let's say, 30 seconds. Read these three verses, and the first person that can tell me the reoccurring theme in these three verses, the thing that occurs in all three of these verses, gets an imaginary prize. Woo! You get an imaginary prize. I will talk to you later. It's going to be less imaginary afterwards. Yeah. That's right. Three different times in these three verses, three for three, thankfulness, thanks, and thankful is mentioned. Each verse has one. That is the three verses that follow up to the rules for Christian households, that paragraph. These three verses are the entrance to that, if you will. Okay? We are, this is something that is constantly lost on us, but despite that, it is constantly papered throughout the Bible. Everywhere is thankfulness. Thankfulness is a key part of Christianity, of following God, that we lose so easily. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible, I call it the anxiety chapter, Philippians chapter 4. It is the textbook, and many of you have heard me talk about it because I absolutely love it. There's a big poster in the warehouse that has my favorite couple verses from it. Philippians chapter 4 talks about how to get rid of your anxiety. It is the textbook in the Bible for how to rid yourself of depression, anxiety, excessive bad feelings, depression, suicidal thoughts, whatever. That's your textbook, Philippians chapter 4. It's an awesome, 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 awesome section of just Philippians, which is already a great book. In that, how that verse starts that talks about anxiety, it says, through everything, with prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, give your requests to God. And then it says, the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Through prayer and supplication, through prayer and being honest with God about what you need, ask God for what you need. That's important. With just a little dash, little pepper of thankfulness. That's the secret key to the perfect jambalaya. That's exactly what you need to make it all taste good and work. You need that prayer and that asking for things, but also you need a thankful heart. That's a key part of getting rid of that anxiety in Philippians chapter 4, and it's just as true here. Thankfulness is so important because it can change everything. It changes our outlook. It changes how we treat other people. It will literally change your entire life just to have a thankful heart. So much so that it's like even bigger than the Bible. Like studies have shown time and time again that thankfulness changes how you act as a person. Positive Psychology and the Neuroscience of Gratitude, that's a great article. The UCLA, which is a college, the Mindfulness Awareness Research, or as I like to call it, MARC, the Mindfulness Awareness Research Center of UCLA stated that gratitude does change the neural structures in the brain, makes us feel happier and more content, feeling grateful and appreciating others when they do something good for us, triggers the good hormones, and regulates effective functioning in the immune system. What that means, and that's why I've underlined it, gratitude, thankfulness, joy in others, that mindset literally shapes your brain. It will rewire your brain if you let it. One of my favorite sayings is neurons that fire together, wire together, which basically means if you think something, if you think something or see something, and then you feel something, all those things become connected. When I see my mother, I am immediately going to feel a lot of emotions, and I'm going to feel like I'm home because that's how my mother feels to me. And a lot of other emotions, some good, some bad. But that's what I think because those neurons that fire together have wired together so much so that I know that my mother is more than just a person. She is my mother. She is my home. She will keep me safe. She cares about me. She loves me no matter what. It is unconditional because that's what I know. That has fired together and wired together. The same with gratitude. If you associate bad situations and then choose to be thankful, because it is a choice. If we are only thankful when we feel thankful, we're not going to be thankful that often. Because I'm not thankful that often. If I just let my brain do what it wants to do, I'm very seldom thankful. But if we choose thankfulness in bad situations, then those neurons that fire together that think, okay, bad situation. What is the very next step? Thankfulness. Okay, something terrible has happened in my life or in a dear friend of mine's life. Next thought, God, thank you for this next breath. God, thank you for the family that I have still on this earth. God, thank you that you sent your son to die for us. Thank you for this, thank you for that. Thank you for an eternity in heaven, an eternity that after 1,000 years will still feel like the next day because it is eternity. Thank you. Let's move on. Let's deal with this situation. It's not a distraction. It's not ignorance. It's not deciding not to deal, because that's not healthy, but rather saying, whoop, not going to let my brain run off with that. I'm really upset by that reality. That makes me sad. That makes me emotional. That makes me feel hurt. God, you are a good, good father, and I'm going to trust you in this next situation. Let's deal with this situation. And with that, it will change the neural structures of our brain, because our brain was created by God to do that. Because God is really, really cool. And God is really, really cool, especially when it comes to science. God made our brains to do that, so that gratitude and thankfulness and a full heart in that will give us what we need to sustain us. We need that thankfulness if we're going to work with all our heart, if we're going to do things that we get paid for and not paid for with all our heart, whatever that may be, we need thankfulness constantly. That needs to be our resource. We need a thankful heart. We need to know why we're thankful, what we're thankful of, whatever that means. Whether that means putting a little sticky note on your truck rearview mirror every day. Whether that means having a wristband that says thankfulness. I don't know. Use physical things. Don't be afraid to get weird with it. But we need thankfulness in our life, and we need constant reminders of how awesome God is and why we have a right to be thankful, because God is super cool. Third thing, one of my favorite parts of Colossians 3:23, and really the whole chapter of Colossians 3, is an active chapter of the Bible. It is not a passive chapter. It doesn't even say, read God's word more, or pray. Those are active things, don't get me wrong. But those are things we can all do sitting down. Those are things we don't have to get up and move for, typically. And let's be honest, it's pretty easy to read the Bible, despite how often we may not do it, myself included. It's pretty easy to read the Bible, usually, in most places, certainly in America, thank God. But the chapter of Colossians 3 is such an active one. These are just the three verses that I thought of. And above all, put on actively, like a backpack, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Not wait for love, not feel love, not enjoy love when it comes around. No, no, no. Put it on, just like you put your pants on in the morning. Put on love. Go out of your way, go to your closet, put on some love. You need to actively do that. Don't just feel love whenever you feel love. Because if I have my brain's choice, I'm going to choose hate more often than love. Even on a good day, because I'm a bitter person and I'm not perfect. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks, actively giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 23, the one that we're talking about, and I use the NIV for this one. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. We need to be active in these things. We need to be moving. We need to be constantly on guard. The temptation, the biggest temptation in this world is to just, whatever comes, comes. Whatever happens, happens. Either that or to grip the steering wheel so hard you're about to break it off. Those are the two greatest temptations in this world, I would argue. Either give up all control and let whatever happens, happens, man. Or take so much control that God has no chance on earth of ever running your life. Both are sinful and both are not good, but they are both what we will always choose time and time again because they're easy. It's easy to take control. It's easy to not delegate. I am great at that, not delegating. I am terrible at taking a time in my day to not stress and say, how can somebody help me in this moment? How can my awesome, loving wife come in and help me rather than me just take care of it and do everything myself? How can I do that? How can I let go of control? And I'm also terrible at picking up my own life and letting God take control and not just sitting back and saying, oh, this is nice. This is pretty nice. We'll just let whatever happens, happens. Let's just, if I feel like being thankful, I'm going to be real thankful. Thanksgiving, oh, I'm going to eat so much turkey and be thankful. Oh, so thankful. Oh, when Becca does something real nice for me, I'm going to be so loving. It's crazy. I am going to be so happy and loving and caring. Oh, it will be great. Thanks for doing the dishes. I love you. That's my temptation. Sit back. Whatever happens, happens. If I feel a little burst of energy, maybe I'll do something. Maybe I'll put on some love, but probably not that often. Maybe I'll open up God's word in my free time, but probably not. We'll see how I feel. We'll see how my heart feels later. We'll adjust it as it comes. That's my temptation. Not these active words to put on love like it's your job. To do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, to give thanks actively, to work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So, one, we need to know who God's talking to. God's talking to each of you individually. He's talking to us as a group, and he's talking to each of you individually. No mediary needed. Nobody in the middle needed. Not this time. This time it's just you and God. Hey, you. Children, fathers, parents, mothers, sons, daughters. All these things that you don't get paid to do. They're just parts of life. Each of you, I'm addressing you individually. Two, we need a thankful heart. We need a heart full of thankfulness to get there to work with all our heart. And thirdly, we need to be active and not slothful. We need to desire proactivity in putting on love, like it's our shirt, to do things in the name of Jesus and to work at it with all our heart. And then the final question is, how do we put that all together? And I think that sums it up perfectly. Work at it. With all your heart. Work like it's a job. It takes time. It takes practice. Work at it. Work on being thankful. Make an effort. Make reminders on your phone. Have alarms to pray. Work at it. Set reminders. Make sticky notes to go in your windows. Whatever you got to do to put more God in your life. There's a temptation to just let God be God. And that's a good thing. We need to let God be God. But in the sense of there's a temptation of God will get a hold of me when he needs me. And that's true. But you don't want that. You want to be on the phone when God needs to talk. You don't want to have to get a phone call from him. Because when God calls, you don't miss that phone call. That's a loud, unmissable phone call. When God needs to set you straight, he doesn't send a sticky note. God sends a train right through your living room. You cannot miss it. It is so much better to be on the same page with God rather than to be in a whole nother library and he's got to drag you back to the book that you're supposed to be reading right here. That is a way easier road trip. We need to be close with God already. We need to work at it with all our heart. Just as if God was paying your bills. Because he is. Just as if God was the one signing your paychecks. Do we, men in this room, do we love our wives as if God was paying us too? As if we were rated as a boss would rate his employees and pay us accordingly. How much would we get paid? Wives, do we do the same? Not me, because I'm not a wife. Do we do the same? Mothers, fathers, children. Children's a big one. Children in this room, God's talking to you. God's not talking to your mom and dad to talk to you. God's talking to you. Side note, we're all children, so this is for everyone. Children in this room, God's not saying, hey, moms and dads out there, get a hold of your kids. Help them to focus. No, no, no. Children, comma. Listen to your parents, for it pleases the Lord. Parents, comma. Do not exacerbate your children. Treat them well. Bosses, comma. Workers, comma. Wives, husbands, comma. This is to you. I do believe in this day, right now, God is trying to get a hold of each and every one of us because, realistically, there is nobody in this passage that is not affected by this passage. We are all, at the very least, children of somebody. Whether you know those people or not, whether they're alive or not. And at the very end of the day, there's a reason we call God Father, is there not? He is our heavenly Father. Do we respect him, children of God? Are we following him? Are we following God as if he paid our bills? Are we desiring that closeness with him? Are we working at it with all of our heart because we are working for the Lord, not our human masters? I want to close us. How am I doing on time? Holy smokes. It is 10:06. I apologize. That's on me. It's okay, there's no football anyway. What do you guys got to get to? It's only Mother's Day. So sorry. Okay, I'm going to leave you with this. I feel really bad. One more time. Many apologies. Last thing I want to leave you with is the last verse, right, or the next verse, apologies. The next verse right after Colossians 3:23. And that is, knowing, there's a comma, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, period. You are serving Christ Jesus. Is that not a call to arms if there ever was one? That is its own sentence. That's how important that is. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for man, comma, verse 24. Knowing, keep this in mind, it's important, know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Period. You are serving the Lord Christ. You are serving Jesus. You are serving God. You are serving the Spirit. Do not forget where we came from. I did not just come from my mother. I came from God. God knitted me together in my mother's womb. After Job had suffered for weeks and weeks of pain and suffering, the first thing God said to him, does anyone know what God said to him? Where were you? Chapters of the Bible are devoted to Job asking God, what is happening? God responds with one sentence. Sorry, where were you when I made all this? Where were you when I made you in your mother's womb? Where were you when I formed the earth? Don't get it twisted. You're not God here, Sonny. You're a person, and I care about that person more than anything else. But don't get it messed up. You're serving me. That's not a bad serving. That's not a domineering serving. That's not a bad boss situation. It's a gracious, loving situation. But God is very swift to say, don't forget, you might think you're driving the car, but I own the lease. This is my car. And what matters to me more than you being happy or being in control or having wealth is eventually that car needs to get to heaven. It doesn't matter so much how it gets there, but you need to get to heaven. That's what matters, because this is just a little in time. Eternity is a giant circle that never ends, that I will never understand. Doesn't matter what's going on right now. It matters right now, and that's good, because God cares about it. But in the big picture, God is way more concerned with where you end up than where you are. And God will do whatever he needs to try and get you there. But ultimately, it's your choice. You are serving the Lord Christ. Everyone in here is serving the Lord Christ. And we need to remember that with thankful hearts, with a relationship with God, and with activity and proactiveness and intentionality in our life, and desiring a closer relationship with God. Because we are serving the Lord Christ. Amen. Let's pray.